You're listening to NPR.
This whole week, we have been revisiting some of our favorite stories from the last year about women and the economy. And each episode helps us answer this much bigger question about why women earn less than men, why there are fewer women in the workforce than men, why women pay more for things than men. And we are calling this series The Gender Gap. And this episode you're about to hear is the last in the series. It was originally reported back in November of 2018. Karen Duffin.
Hi.
I have lured you over from Planet Money today to talk about a story that is close to my heart.
And mine.
The pink tax.
That's right. The pink tax refers to this idea that products for women tend to cost more than products for men.
New York actually did a really comprehensive study, including everything from like toys for little kids and home healthcare products for seniors and clothing and the works. And they found that women paid more in about 30 out of 35 product categories. And in some cases, it was a lot more.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Karen Duffin.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, the pink tax. Why women pay more for things. And why a lot of economists say this is a good thing.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google Domains. Google Domains helps make your business a reality with the tools and partners for building your website like a pro and premium security features included for free. Make it happen at domains.google/NPR. Support also comes from Fundrise, innovating the way people can invest in real estate. Fundrise makes it simple to build a portfolio of high-quality real estate affordably. Visit fundrise.com/built and get your first 6 months of advisory fees waived.
Today's indicator is 13%. In New York City's report on the pink tax, the price women were paying for things like clothes and home health products tended to be about 7 or 8% more than the price that men were paying for comparable products. But there was one category where women were paying way more, 13% more.
Personal care products. That is deodorant, razor, shampoo, body wash. Women were paying, on average, 13% more than men for the same product. And, you know, when I saw this, I was like, that is not true. There is no way that's true that women are paying 13% more. Women would notice this. We would never stand for this.
So we went to see for ourselves.
Yes.
We went to the Walgreens in Times Square, and we started in the razor section.
Okay, this appears to be the dividing line.
Okay, yeah. You can tell because there's blue on one side and pink on the other. We figured we would look for the most basic, the most bare bones razor for both men and for women, and we would see how the prices compare.
Here we go. What about these?
This has 10 razors.
Okay.
$6.
We have to look at the price per unit.
Here, oh, unit price. Men's razors are 59.9 cents per razor.
Okay, the price per unit for the Daisy razor, which is
basic, right?
Super basic. I mean, there's, yeah, no, it's the same. It has the same.
They have a little strip thing on top.
No, but those do too. Those
too. Okay.
Price per unit's $1.25.
That is infuriating. That's double. Oh my God.
I know.
These are literally the exact razor.
It's the same razor.
So this is a classic example of what economists call price discrimination.
Jennifer Doliak is an economist who studies crime and discrimination. And she says this particular kind of price discrimination happens when companies divide a market up into segments and charge a different price to each segment.
We compared the prices at Walgreens and a nearby Duane Reade. Shampoo, body wash, face lotion, deodorant, men versus women. And it is clear companies have divided the market up into men and women, and they are charging women more.
Are like economists cool with this?
Yeah, I think, price discrimination is super efficient.
But why is it more efficient for women to pay more? How is that good for the economy? How is this okay?
It's okay and actually better than a situation without price discrimination because price discrimination allows the firm to charge different prices to different people, and more of those people who want to buy the good are able to buy it.
So basically, there is more variety, more kinds of razors in the world. Pink ones that are, you know, scented with white tea and have 5 blades and cost $20, and yellow Bics that cost $4 for a 12-pack. And so overall, in the world, there are more kinds of razors, and those razors are also offered at a cheaper price than they would be if the market weren't segmented. You know, so overall, cheaper, some cheaper razors.
For men.
for men. Yes, cheaper razors for men. So, like, for the market as a whole, this is great. It just isn't so great if you happen to be in the pink razor half
right.
of the economy.
Right, exactly. And that is an efficient market. Maximum options for all razor buyers.
Feels like really unfair that we're earning, like, women earn less and pay more.
But
it
ultimately kind of is our fault to the extent that it's our preferences
no.
that dictate, you know, I mean, ultimately, like, you don't have to pay that price.
How do you feel about women getting charged more for products?
It's really, really irritating. But as an economist, I love that firms can do this because it's just such a beautiful example of how markets can ultimately lead to more efficient outcomes.
Jennifer says the solution is for women to stop buying pink razors and just get really diligent about researching gender price differences. And then give your business to places that don't have gender-differentiated pricing.
I mean, Karen, I thought about this a lot. And, you know, I was like, listen, I have loved and reported on economics for, like, more than a decade. But how could economics be celebrating this? I mean, I've been with economics for all these years, and I just thought there's got to be another way of looking at this.
You're going to give them a second chance, huh?
Well, you know, we have a history together. And so I started looking around, and I found a different approach. It comes from a female economist from the 30s, a contemporary and friend of John Maynard Keynes, a woman named Joan Robinson. Linda, you profiled Joan Robinson in her book, What Would the Great Economist Do? And Linda says Joan Robinson would have a different view of this price discrimination situation.
If you think about markets being perfectly competitive, then you really shouldn't have price discrimination, should you? Because if you try to sell your razor for a cent more, then they'll go and buy it from the next person.
Linda says the market values a particular good or service a certain way. That is the perfect price. And a more expensive product should have more features. It should be qualitatively different. But in the case of the deodorant and razors that we looked at, it is clear that women are not paying more because their version of the products are better. They're paying more because of marketing.
If it's a case of pure marketing, making you feel you need to buy a certain kind of product, even though really it's not much different than the cheaper one, I'm not sure that's economically efficient.
So take the cell phone market.
Yes.
At the high end, you've got a $1,000 phone with tons of apps and features and accessories. And at the bottom of the market, there's like a $200 phone that does none of that, but it is way more affordable and you can make calls with it. And this is economically efficient because all of this innovation happened because people were willing to pay more for a phone. And companies had to find reasons to charge more. They had to make it better than the $200 phone.
But in the case of razors, there's no difference.
I know.
The difference is the heartless marketing machine that has been devouring our souls since birth, Karen Duffin.
Ugh.
This has not created a better razor. And its economic efficiency is therefore questionable. Unless, you know, it creates double the enjoyment of a men's razor, but
it doesn't.
I don't think so. No,
for sure it doesn't. Linda says Joan Robinson might say that razor makers are taking advantage of a captive market of sorts, a market that's been made captive by marketing. And in cases like these, Linda says Joan Robinson actually recommended government regulation.
Markets left on their own without thinking about the institutions really don't work that well. And in fact, that's why you need to have institutions that make sure that markets operate fairly.
In fact, California, Florida, and New York are some of the states that have put regulations in place that make it illegal for certain vendors, like dry cleaners and hair salons in some of the cases, to charge different prices based on gender. Razors, though, have never made the cut. I don't know, Karen, are we just like...
I think we might have to just...
stop buying pink razors?
Yeah.
In New York, though, this might change. In June, a bill passed the New York State Assembly that would fine companies for pricing their male and female products differently if they share 90% of the same materials or ingredients. The bill has not been brought for a vote in the state Senate yet, but if it does make it through the legislature, New York could become the first state to ban pricing based on gender, not just for services, but also for goods. Today's update was produced by Rachel Cohn. The original episode was produced by Constanza Gallardo. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. Our intern and fact checker is Emily Lang. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.